Caribou say, hope all is good. Today's daf is getting daf nun aleph. Hope you're having or had an easy fast. We're here on the two dots on nun amud beis, right? A quote from our Mishnah, ein motzian l'achilas peros. So let's just go over what that case was. Right, again, we have a little bit of a convoluted case. Shimon steals a field from Reuven, and then Shimon goes and sells that field to Levi with achrayas, right? With achrayas is written in the shtar, meaning there's an obligation for Shimon to pay back Levi if Reuven comes or if someone comes and takes that field. Not sure why he would do that, but okay. Meaning, so you have Shimon who stole the field, sold it to Levi, even though it wasn't really his, right? And said that if someone takes your field away, I'll reimburse you for it. Okay, so sure enough, Reuven comes back and takes his field from Levi. Now Levi comes to Shimon for the money that the field is worth, and B, what's called the shvach and the peros, which is the peros is the produce of the field, right? And the shvach, any improvements that Levi made in the field as well. So we had said that when Levi goes to Shimon to get the value of the field, he can collect from the chasim mishubadim. He can collect from even from property that Shimon has sold, right, and has a lien on, etc., etc. But when he goes for the peros and for the shvach, right, that he can only get from the chasim b'nei chorin, which means basically the property that Shimon has on him right now, not any properties that he sold. He can't go and repossess from other people. So the question is, why is that, right? If he's going to get back the value of this field from Shimon, why should we split, right, the peros on the one hand, right, the actual value of the field, right, on the other hand? So the Gemara says, and that's the Gemara has. So Gemara says, my time. So we're going to have two possibilities. Or it's going to be two possibilities. Amar Ula Amar Shlagish. The Shlagish says the fisha ein ksuvim, because they are not written down. Because the peros, right, again, the any produce is not written down. When Levi bought the field from Shimon, right, they wrote a shtar, and again, Shimon promised to pay him back if the field got repossessed, right? But the fruit and the peros and all that stuff was not written down. What do we care about that? So if you look at Rashi is a long Rashi over here, the fisha ein ksuvim, so towards the bottom, right, because there's no kol, because there's no rumors that go out, right, about the actual payers of the field. So whereas in a regular sale, people know about this, and therefore when they're buying property from Shimon, they're going to know about, you know, potential liens and potential repossession, etc. But if there's if they're not written down, there's no call in terms of the payrolls, in terms of any other added expenses that Shimon might incur, right, that would cause someone else who does business with Shimon, right, to lose their potential field. So therefore, if there's no rumors, if people don't know about it, right, so then that's not fair to allow them, to allow Levi to go get back from something and take the value of the peros from something that Shimon already sold to somebody else. So Amar Le Rabbi Abba Leula Rabbi Abba said to Ula v'hamazon isha v'avanos because the command to ksivi damo v'katani ein motzian. Rabbi Abba said to Ula, one second, hold on. A person, if a person in the it's not really written in the ksuba, but it's as if it's written in the ksuba that a person, if a husband passes away, right, you have to take money from the estate to provide to make sure there's food for, right, his wife and any daughters that are left over. Right, the sons inherit him, but the daughters that don't inherit him, right, they have to be supported until they get married, etc. That's not written in the shtar, but that is as if they're written in the shtar, right? So it's not based in, right? I mean, everybody knows, right? Everybody knows when they get married. So then in that case, right, emotion, right, we don't make him pay what's it called. You can't get from the chasim mishubadim. So it clearly has nothing to do with anything. What does that have to do with anything? Samar ula, samar lai. I mean, it doesn't matter that they're written down. Not written down, doesn't matter. Samar lai said to him, so ula said back to Rabbi Abba, yes, hasam, you're right. Over there by that case, mikara hachi itko. No, that was the takanan based in. And ksuvin hein etzel b'nei chorin. Ve'in ksuvin hein etzel mishubadim. That was only, that when they did that, that takana was made only for the b'nei chorin, for the property that the guy actually owned, right, at the time, right, but it was not, the kana was not that they should be able to go and collect, right, from other nechazim mishubadim, from other properties that the guy had sold already. I mean, basically, because basically everybody knows, right, that, you know, that the people get married, and if you're telling me that the wives and the daughters always are able to collect from the chasim mishubadim, that would mess up, right, any potential sale of property ever, right? Everybody has a potential lien on their property. Right? If Rahman Salam, the guy dies, now the wife and the daughters come to collect. So if you tell me they can collect from property that was sold, so that's literally every property on the market is going to have some sort of lien, and that's going to, you know, mess up the real estate market, and that would be very bad. So Chazal, we're only metaking that That they can that the wife and the daughter can collect from the chazan b'nei chorin from property that the guy still owns. V'chein amar Rabbi Asi amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Achi also said the name of Rabbi Yochanan. The fish ain k'suvin, right? Rabbi Yochanan also said like Reish Lakish, right? There, Chavrusa. That makes doesn't make sense. That they would agree, but okay. But they also said the same reason is because they're not k'suvin, because they're not written down. There's no kol. There's no rumors and not rumors. There's no voice. People don't know about the peros and the shvach. So Amar Le Rabbi Zeir Le Vasi. Apparently, they had the same discussion right by Reish Lakish that they had by Rabbi Yochanan. So it was just different players over here. Rabbi Zeir said Le Vasi, I have a Moshe Nishma Abanos demanded k'sividamu katani mosian. So Amar Le said back to Meikara. They had the same back and forth as we just explained. Rabbi Chanina Amar, no. Rabbi Chanina says not because there's no voice, there's no call, it's not because there's not written down. Lafishayin ksuvin, right? Not ksuvin with a chaf and a tuf, but a ksuvin with a kuf and a tzadik. This is not some linguistic thing. It just happens to be that they're similar words, right? Because they're not fixed, because we don't know, right, how much peros and shvach, I mean, I don't know exactly how much that's going to be. So people who are buying other properties, they're never going to know, right, how much money, right, Shimon may own. Meaning, people know that Shimon sold the field to Levi with Achrayus, right? That's, let's say, the field is worth $100,000. So Seder, people look at Shimon's business dealings, and they come and buy other property from him, and they know that, you know, Shimon's got, let's say, $1 million worth of property. So if you buy, you know that someone with a lien of $100,000 is not going to come and repossess all your stuff. But if Shimon sold, if we also allowed Levi to collect the shvach and the peros from properties that Shimon sold, right, we don't know how much the shvach and the peros are going to be, right? That's not clear. That's not katzuf. That's not fixed. Could be he did really well in his field, and now he made $10 million or something, and now he's coming to collect from other properties, and people will be like, I don't know what you're talking about, bro. Where'd you come from, even? So that's the reason we don't allow him to collect from other lands. Yibarlu, so that's the following shayla. According to the sheet of Rabbi Chanina, right, the Rabbi Chanina, ketsuvim u ketsuvim bai, right, o dilma ketsuvim bavo bija in ketsuvim. When Rabbi Chanina said that it has to be ketsuv, fixed, does that mean it also has to be written, or even if it's not written? We look at Rashi, if you say the mal v'alpeh, right? Shah kazuv the iksuva tarfa min mishabde. And Rashi says the shaila would be, right? And if you're telling me that it could be by without it being written down, meaning that it's just enough that the thing is fixed, that the amount is fixed, even if it's not written down, even a mil v'alpeh, even a loan, right? That just, you know, lend me $100, right, without writing it down. That if it's fixed as $100, right, so then you can come and get from the Chazim Mishibadim. Tosus over here, if you look just straight across, just very interestingly, Tosus says that can't be the pshat, right, because it says beferish in the Gemara, at the end of the Basra, that you can't do that. That if you have some sort of mil valpeh, or if you have some sort of loan, that, you know, lend me $100, lend me $1,000, whatever, you cannot collect from the Chazim Mishibadim from property that was sold to somebody else. So Rabbeinu Tam is another pshat. He says we're not talking about a milvah, we're talking about all the things that are fixed. Okay, well, you can check that out if you want. Anyway, that's the shaila. Shaila is according to Rabbi Chanina, when he says ktsuvin, when it's things that it's fixed, right, does that mean it's both fixed and written or not? So Tashma, I'll bring you a proof. It's my said, Misha Mesvenich Shte Banos Uben. Person passes away, he has three kids, two daughters and a son. Now the din is that the son, right, inherits everything. And the daughters, right, get taken care of until they get married. But midrabanan, right, again, that dindaraisa. Really, dindaraisa, really, they get nothing. Midrabanan, right, that they get taken care of, and then when they marry or when they become bogeres, right, then that cuts off. Also, right, Chazal, as Rashi explains over here, right, also Chazal were metakein that when she gets married, she gets 1/10. Right, of the Yerusha, of 1/10 of the inheritance. So that's fixed, obviously that's fixed. So that's the case over here. That the guy died and he left, right, three kids, right? He has two daughters and a son. So the son takes, right, the whole thing. And then then the first daughter, right, the oldest daughter, goes and takes her 1/10. Good, because she gets married or whatever. Velohi speak a shniel the gabos ad shemesa ben, and then the second one didn't get married, didn't get the chance to take her 10% until the son died, and now the son had no yorshim, right? He had nobody to inherit, and now the sisters, right? His two sisters inherit him, so now you got 90% of the yerusha from the father, right? Is falling to the two daughters, right? Now his two daughters and the son's two sisters. Now there's two ways to split this up. You could split it up right, you know, whatever's left, 45%, 45%. Or the second daughter could be like, you already took 10%. I'm going to take my 10%, and then we'll split the 80%. Right? And then the, both of them end up with, I guess it's a difference of 5%, right, for the second daughter or whatever. So Rabbi Yochanan says, Shnia Vetra. Rabbi Yochanan says that the second one has blown it. I mean, she doesn't get it. We don't do it the second way. Meaning we split the actual 90%, 45-45. We don't say that the second daughter, the younger daughter, can go get her 10%, and then you split the 80. We split it 90% cut in two. Okay, so Amr later Bechanina, Bechanina said, "Gedolim mizu, even more than that, right? Motzin leparnasa, v'motzin lemazonos." Meaning, so this is a shiloh. Meaning, he asked, he said, "One second, Chazal already said something even greater than this. Meaning that you can take right from the chasim mishubadim, right from for the parnasa for this 10% I'm talking about, but not for mizonos, not to keep them, you know, to take care of them, right, keep them alive." I mean, to give their panasa. And you're telling me that the second one is giving up, right? Her 10% of the thing. I mean, if you're telling me that you can get, that you can take the parnasa, which is basically the 10% of the estate from the chasim mishubadim, for sure you could take it from Yorshim. Meaning, again, if you're telling me that you can take the 10% from the chasim mishubadim, which means land that the father sold and doesn't own anymore, for sure you should be able to take the 10% from land that the father owns and now is inherited by those daughters themselves. So, and now the Gemara says exactly the point. Right? Right? The parnasa, this 10% that she's taking for being married, that's fixed. That's 10%. But mikta luksiva is not written down from kamotzia. But you're telling me that she's allowed to take it from the chasim shubadim. So apparently, you see that ktsuvim. Right, anything that is fixed and is not written down still can be taken from Chasim Mishubadim. And therefore, what Rabbi Chanina meant when he said Ketsuvin, right, the things that are fixed, it's even if they're not written down. So Gemara says, no, not really. Shiny Parnasa, Kevin de Isle Kala, Kaman de Ksivadami. No, Parnasa, this 10% that the daughter is allowed to take from the inheritance, from the husband, from the father's inheritance, or I guess the father's estate, right, from her inheritance, right, so that's 10%, is like it's written down, right, it's like it's written down, everybody knows about it, it's a Tekanon of Beis Din, right, everybody knows that about it, and therefore it's like it's written down, so therefore that's not necessarily a good proof. Okay, fine. Now, Masiv Rav Huna Bar Manoach, Rav Huna Bar Manoach, right, asked Akasha on what we had said before, that if something is not written down, right, you can't get from the chasim mishubadim. You can't, if it's not written, if it's not ksuvin, if it's not written, right, that's the first answer we had, right, that you cannot get from the chasim mishubadim. You can't go get it from sold land. Mesu ubenosei mesu. Now, okay, what's going on over here? But two, if they died, so that's the Mishnah ksuvis at the end of ksuvis is like this: that if someone, one second, what's okay? Okay, so a woman remarries. Right. Woman has a daughter from her first marriage. The first marriage, the husband died or whatever. Woman remarries, right? And the second, right, the second husband promises to support, right, the wife and the daughter for 5 years. Then either he dies or they get divorced, and then the woman remarries again, right? And then she remarries again, and now the third husband also promises, right, to pay, right, for and take care of, right, the wife's daughter, meaning bas ishto, right, the wife, his stepdaughter. They both of them, now she's basically getting parnasa, or not parnasa, because we use that word, that's a different word. She's basically getting supported from two different stepfathers, right, during let's say, you know, a certain 5 year period or 4 year period, or whatever it is. So Gemara says, Mesu, meaning if they both died, right, I mean, if both the second husbands died, the second and the third husbands died, so Benosei Nizonos, meaning their daughters, meaning the ones that they had with this woman, right, any kids that they had themselves, right, can get from any property that they own, but Vahi, but the stepdaughter, Nizonos, Minichasim, Mishubadim, she can go and collect from property that was sold, but Benishi, because she is like a Balaskov, meaning he accepted upon himself, right, a debt to pay her, to take care of her, that's like he owes her money, so she can go to the estate and get from Nechasim Mishubadim, but that's not written down, that's just, he got married to her mother, right, that's not written down that I'm going to promise to take care of your daughter for 5 years or whatever, but that was the deal, right, and apparently she can collect from the chasim mishubadim. That's against what we said before, that it's only if it's written, only if it's ksuvin, can you collect from the chasim mishubadim, from these sold properties. No, the case over here is that there was a kinyan. So it's as if it was as if it was written down. Squamai says, Yehachi benos nami. Okay, but fine. So then why can't his own daughters, right, go and get from the chasim b'shubah? Then why do they only get from the chasim b'nei chorin, from property that he owns at this moment, not property they sold? Squamai says, because you kind of lazuv, kind of lazuv. Yeah, okay, because you did a kinyan for the stepdaughter, but not for the regular daughters. The Gemara says, my Pascha, where'd you get that from? So the Gemara says, Bas ishto dehavi b'shas kinyan. Because at that point, right, when he made the kinyan, i.e., when this woman got remarried the second and third time, right, that daughter existed already. Right, the stepdaughter existed at the time of the marriage. Mahani la kinyan. So therefore, the kinyan, right, they did a kinyan. They have a kinyan that helps. Right, but bito the lo have b'shas kinyan, lo mahani la kinyan. But any subsequent daughters that this guy has with the wife, or the second husband has, or third husband has with his new wife, so there was no kinyan. See, they weren't there at that point, and therefore the kinyan, right, that does not necessarily help. Okay, fine. And then fine. So Gemara says, Milo askina and Davu Tarvai b'shaskina. Well, what do you mean? Gemara says, why do we assume that the daughter that this second and third husband had with his wife, with his woman, right, didn't exist, wasn't alive at that time? Maybe the Gersha Bahadra. Maybe the case is where, yeah, he's getting divorced and then he remarried her, meaning that he's remarrying her, right, meaning the third husband could be the same as the second husband. Right, and really, there aren't three men here. There's really only two men here. And the guy remarried her, right, for the second time. She got remarried once. Right? They had a daughter. They got divorced, then they got remarried. So it could be that both daughters existed at that time. So why do we say that it only works for the stepdaughter, not the regular daughter? So Kumar says, Ella, rather, the case must be like this. Bito, or the reason why we split daughter and stepdaughter is like this. Bito, his daughter, the B'nai Beis Din Kachla, right, who gets supported from the B'nai Beis Din, like we said before, that if a guy dies, really he's inherited by his son, but you have Parnassa, right, you have support for, I'm sorry, the Parnassa is the 10%. But what's the word they used before? They have mizonos, I'm sorry, that's the word we use. We have mizonos for the daughters, right? You give the money to support, make sure the daughters eat. That's a T'nai Beis Din. So therefore, Mlo Mahani Le Kinyan, that doesn't help. But Bas Ishto Delabit T'nai Beis Din Kachol, Mahani Le Kinyan. But the stepdaughter, which is not a T'nai Beis Din, then the Kinyan works. The Gemara says, what do you mean? V'chi Migra Gara, why would that be any worse? If you have a T'nai Beis Din, why would a T'nai Beis Din be worse? That doesn't make any sense. So Ella must be no, like this. Cave Beito, Cave the B'tai based in Kachla, right? Emar Tsrari Atvasa, right? Since that the daughter is going to get, tonight Basin is going to get Mizonos from because Basin stipulated, came with this, they instituted it. So Emar Tsrari Atvasa must be that maybe before the father died, right, he already gave her money, right? He kind of like fronted her the money, right, to make sure that if I die, so this is the money for it's taken care of, right? Again, it's his daughter, right? Pasha says he probably made some sort of arrangement, right? There's money in the safe for you to take care of. So we don't say that she can go to Nechazim Mishubah, but by the stepdaughter, right? There was definitely no arrangement for that because they're not as close, etc. Right? So then she can go to Nechazim Mishubah. Okay. Teshma, I'll bring you another proof. Let's bring a proof again for the either Ula, but that's its Ksuvin. Ksuvin with a kaf and a taf, or ktsuvin, right, with a kuf and a tzadik, right, as Rabbi Chanina says. So Tashma, bring in proof. I'm Rabbi Nelson, emasai. What do you mean, emasai? When what? When do we say? And this guy, that again, going back to our case, original case, that Levi's going to Shimon to go and get money back for both the property of the field and for the peros and the shvach. Right, so when do we say that the peros and shvach can't be collected, right, from the chazim meshubadim? Bizman shekadam mekcho shalsheni l'shvacho shalrisam. That's only, right, if the second guy, I mean, if Shimon sold the land, right, before Levi made the improvements or got the peros in the field. But if Levi did his improvements and got the produce first, go from Mechazim Meshubadim, then he can collect from Mechazim Meshubadim. Alma, apparently, what do you see? Pshum de loka kadim lai. It must be the only reason, right, you can't get from Mechazim Meshubadim is because, right, the Shvach didn't come first. Right, but if it did, right, then he can. Right, so apparently, we're holding that even if it's not written, right, again, this is Rabbi Nelson saying that basically, that if it's not written down, right, still you can go get from Mechazim Meshubadim. Gemara says tonight. That's a kasha. It seems to be a kasha. Right? Tosus already says it's a kasha on both of them. Okay, when I was reading the Gemara, I only understood it was a kasha on Ula, who says that it's all based on writing it down. Okay, Seder, this is definitely what to work out over here. So anyway, the Gemara, but long story short, the Gemara answers and says, Tanaihi, right, it's really Machlokas Tanaim, right? What, again, when we're saying Ksuvim or Ketsuvim, right, really, whether you can get Nechazim or Shabbatim, Nechazim or Nechorin, right, it's really based on a Machlokas Tanaim. The Tanaim is really the Nerbaisa. Ain motzian lechilas peiros v'lishvaker karos v'lamazon ishva banos mini chazim ishibadim. Right, pnei tigan olam. Right, that's our Mishnah. You can't take from any of those cases from the chazim ishibadim. This brisa says beferis strictly straight up lafish ain ksuvin because it's not written down. That's exactly like Ula said. Name right, Rabbi Yochanan. We said Rabbi Shlakish as well. Right, that's because it's not written down. I'm Rabbi Yosi v'chimat tigan olam ishbazur. He says, what do you mean? What is there any help here? Right, what does that do, if anything? Hello, in ktsuvin, but they're not fixed. So you see the ktsuvin thing, right, is really a machlokas, right, tanai. Okay, fine. Bez seder gomer. That's the end of that discussion. Okay, the rest of this is basically big inyanim in modu b'miktas. Moira and Metzias, and this, which is you know, this is really actually very, very basic stuff in Nezikin. So this is, you know, it's exciting to see this a couple of months early, right, before we get to the year of the Bubbas. Okay, says the Mishnah, right, Motzi Metzias lo yishava, person, right, makes a Metzias, you don't have to swear, right? If the guy challenges and says, hey, I lost two items, you only found one of them, swear me about the other one, even though we usually say modem miktas, if you admit to half of the claim, you have to take a shrua, right, by a Metzias, if you find something, we're not going to make him swear that, oh, right, I only found one and not two. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak, Shnei Kizin Shura Matzazili. Right, if a guy says, if a guy challenges, right, a guy, you walk up to someone else and say, you found two of my wallets that were tied together, or two of my bags, my money bags. Found the Omer Lomatasi Ala Echad. I said, what are you talking about? I only found one. So in that case, that's Modu B'miktas, that's Nishba. Then he has to take a Shavua. Shnei Shavarim Ksurim Mishalti Li? If the guy says no, but it was two, if it's a different case, the guy says, you found two of my oxen? I only found one. So then in that case, Eino Nishba. That the case, he doesn't have to swear. My time, and what's the reason? Because Shavarim Menatchei Da Me'adadi, and Kisim Lo Menatchei Me'adadi. Because oxen move. Right? And it's very possible that they, you know, kind of snap the rope that was holding them together, but obviously wallets are not moving on their own. Shnei shvarim ksuvim matzasa v'alomer matzasi v'chzarti l'chal echad mehem. In the case, the guy says, you found two of my oxen. The guy says, yeah, I found both, but I gave one back to him. So that's reizin ishba. That is a case of modim miktas. For Rabbi Yitzchak, less like hamotzi matzia lo yishava. But Rabbi Yitzchak doesn't hold of our Mishnah. Mifnetzik and Olam. This is what happened in our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, "Who do Amar Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yitzchak?" He holds a Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yitzchak, who says that our who holds against our Mishnah. The Tanya is within the Rabbisa. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer. Let's say Yitzchak. I'm not sure why. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer. Pamim shadam nishba al tanas atzmo. Sometimes a person has to take a shvua, even though he is the one making the claim. Kate said, "What case could that be?" Mana lavicha biyadi. Right, the guy says, "I owed $100 to your father," right? I mean, the father passed away, again, he's talking to his Yorshim, right? So he's talking to the inheritors. So he said, I owed your father $100, ve'echalti pras, and I paid him half. Right? Ve'areze anishba, so that's a modu b'miktas, he has to take a shvua, ve'zehu shenishba al tanas asmo, and that's how a person can make a claim, but then swear in his own claim. Chacham amar, the chacham say, what do you mean? Eino ela kameshev aveda u'pater. What do you mean? The guy, the Yorshim, didn't know anything about this debt. Guy offers and says, I owed your father $100. I really paid him $50 already. Here's another guy, hands him $50. What do you mean? That's a major aveda. You're just literally returning a lost object. Right? The Yorshim had no idea about this. So why should he take a shvua? And this is the Gemara asked for Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Leslay, Meshav Aveda Potter. What? Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov doesn't hold our Mishnah? Right? Didn't we say that a Meshav Aveda, someone who gives back an Aveda, is Potter? So Amarav, Betano, Katan. Now the case is where the Yorshim is a Katan. And therefore, that's the claim. So since the katan is the one making the claim, right? So that's not like a meshav aveda. That's not like you're just giving back a lost octave. The Gemara says what a katan meaning. So it's like a modu b'miktas case where you have an actual claim in Beis Din, and the guy says, really, I only paid him half. The Gemara says katan midi mishashu yisle. What do you mean a katan in Beis Din? We don't admit anything that a katan has to do with in Beis Din. We don't make a shvua based on any of these claims. So the Gemara says, my katan, Gadol. So the Gemara says, okay, he wasn't really a katan, he's a gadol, meaning he's over bar mitzvah. But my kari like katan, right? The lekabi mili daviv katan hu. He's only called a katan because regarding what his father did, right? The kids don't really know about the parents' business dealing, so that's why he's called a katan. Okay, Gemara says ihacha tanis atzmo, right? Tanis acherim hu. Well, that's not a case of the guy, right? Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's whole thing was I got a case where the guy swears mu and he makes his own claim. Now you tell me the case is where the Yorshim, who's a Gadol, who's over Bar Mitzvah, claimed this amount that the guy owned his father, and he said, I paid back half of it. Well, that's not his own claim. What are you talking about? That's a regular Modim Mixas case. Someone claims you owe him money, and he says, I only owe you half. No, because it's a claim of somebody else, but it's an admission, right? The guy himself is admitting to owing owing half of it, but says that he claimed says that he paid the other half. The Gemara says that's every modem mitzvah case. Kulu tanisa nami tanis achen vados atzmo ninu. Right, every case. Right, how could you tell me? Right, that's the case over here. That's every modem mitzvah case. Why is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov making this whole deal? Right, it's his own claim. He's going to make a shvua. Right, that's literally a normal case of modem mitzvah. So Ella rather no. The whole machlokas is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and the chachamim is bidder Rabba. Is a machlokas in Rabba's sheet. The Amar Rabba says again, pretty basic. Modem mitzvah stuff. Mipnei ma umra Torah modem mitzvah hatane yeshava. Why does, again, it's a shvu d'araisa. Why does the Torah say that if someone admits to half of a claim, so he has to take a shvua? Chazaka, because we have a rule. Ein adam meis panav bifnei balchovo. Person's not going to be chutzpidik enough to deny the entire thing. Right? If they literally borrowed money from this guy, the guy's claiming his money and based on the guy's, I don't know what you're talking about. No one's going to be that chutzpidik. Okay, right, question if that's true anymore, but back in the day, definitely, no one was going to be that chutzpidik. V'ayit b'kulei boi l'michverei lei, really, the guy wants to say, I don't owe you anything. V'ayit lo kafrei mishum de'ein adamei, is panav v'nei b'chovo. And he's not going to say, I don't owe you the whole amount, because no one's going to be that chutzpidik. But b'kulei boi d'lo d'lei. And then maybe, on the other hand, maybe he wants to admit all of it. V'ayit lo d'lei, d'ishtamutei ha'dekamish damit lei. The reason or on the other hand, right, he's not going to be chutzpidik to say, I don't owe you anything. He kind of maybe really wants to pay him back, right, all of it, but he doesn't admit to knowing all of it because he's trying to push him off. Right, he doesn't have enough money. Be like, okay, I'll delay or I'll deny the claim a little bit until I have money. And then I'll give it to him later. If I'm Rahman, then the Torah says, Ramishvu, Eloiki, so the Torah says, nah. Let's not be crazy here. Let's make him take a shvua. So if in that case, to make sure that he'll admit he owes, right, the entire amount. What's the machlokas there for? Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov sover lo shnabo lo shnabo b'no. It doesn't matter. This whole back and forth applies whether we're talking about the guy that he owns money to, or his son, or his inheritors. Right, ain't no maze. Me manushuk. The guy's not going to say if a guy owes him $100,000. Doesn't matter if it's the guy he borrowed the money from. Doesn't matter if it's kid. If it's his kid, he's still not going to be chutzpidik. V'hilchach, therefore, lav k'meishav avedehu. Right, then he's not just returning money. Right, he's not meishav aveda. He's not just returning money. He owes the money. Right, he owes the money that the kid is claiming or the gadol is claiming. Right, what is he supposed to do? Right, again, so that meaning he actually owes the money. He's not Misha Veda, and therefore he has to take a shvua. The Chachamim Savri, no, Boein Umeiv Meiz Alva Bibino Meiz. No, a person is chutzpidik to talk to the kid. Right, again, he borrowed $100,000 from his father. Father, big businessman, no problem. Borrow $100,000, you got it. Right, he wouldn't say it straight to the father's face. Right, after he did him such a chesed. Right, I don't owe you any money. But the kid, what is he? A 14-year-old kid? What is he thinks he can get away with it, or maybe just doesn't care. Right? Of course he would be chutzpidik to the kid. So therefore, mitalo meiz, misha v'avedehu, right? Since he's not, he would be meiz. I'm sorry, meaning, since when he's not meiz, since when he admits to the kid, right? Normally people would be meiz. Normally people would be chutzpidik to the kid, and they wouldn't give him the light of day. Since he's admitting to the kid that he owes some of it, that's as if he's returning him, right, a lost object, right? Because he's doing the chesed by actually telling him that he owes the money, right? Because normally people would, in fact, deny that claim to the kid's face. Okay, we're going to invite you in the Halakha Shas tomorrow. Have a clean break at the Mishnah. Have a great day or night, depending on when you're listening to this.